Chapter 16. Bunny stared out the window at nothing. They were in the usual mid-morning lull, where a zen level of absolute nothingness happened. Gringo sat in the passenger seat, Bunny in the driver's, neither of them going anywhere. Across the street, Tommy Carter's house did absolutely nothing. The first couple of hours of the daytime shift had flown by in comparison. The book they were running on Who Got Post Today diverted attention for a good 15 minutes just after the school run. Gringo was that far ahead, Bunny was starting to suspect he was sending people letters himself. The school run was, of course, invigorating in itself. Delightful cherubs and their doting parents scampering by, only stopping to hurl abuse at the Gardaí parked outside their tribal warlord's house. It had been decided by those on high to ignore the verbal abuse, but any spitting or physical contact with the vehicles would need to be acted upon. It was fair to say their presence was not being warmly greeted by the locals. The only upside of the day shift was that it was slightly more exciting than the night shift. Starsky and Hutch never had to put up with this shit. Bunny pointed out of the window.
"We think that grass has got longer."
"What?" said Gringo.
"The grass," said Bunny, pointing to the lawn outside 17 Crossin' Road. "We think it's gotten longer."
"We've been here for over a month now. Of course it's grown. Welcome to how the world works. Up next, why the sky is blue."
"My point, you sacky bollocks, is that I think it is noticeably longer. We've been here that long, I've actually watched the grass grow."
"Fascinating," said Gringo, not even looking up from his newspaper. "What's up with you this morning? You're like a bear with a sore head."
"Nothing. Don't want to talk about it."
"Which is it? Is it nothing, or is it something you don't want to talk about?"
"Well, I'll tell you later."
Gringo looked at his watch.
"Fine. Take your time. I won't be going anywhere for at least 4 more hours. In the meantime, what's a 9-letter word for not a jam?"
"What?"
said Bunny.
9-letter word for not a jam," repeated Gringo.
"That's stupid. Every fitting 9-letter word is not a jam. Jam is a 3-letter word. Put any 9-letter word."
"That's not how it works. It's cryptic."
"'Tis idiotic is what it is. Crocodile, there you go. That's 9 letters and not a jam."
"The second letter is an A?"
"Just spell it wrong and move on with your life."
Gringo tossed the newspaper up onto the dashboard.
"You know what your problem is? You need to learn to relax. Take a lesson from Mr. O'Donnell."
Bunny snorted in lieu of a response. They'd been on John O'Donnell, a.k.a. the Iceman, for most of last week. The subject of their surveillance was regularly alternated to prevent boredom, but seeing as this mostly meant watching a house 2 streets over from Carter's, it didn't do a great deal to alleviate the tedium. It got lively when O'Donnell went for a run, mainly because he was impossible to keep up with. At least he ran the same route every day, up around the canal and back. The man was a machine, while Morin, his ex-ranger buddy, was all tattoos and steroid-enhanced muscle. O'Donnell was a lean athlete. Indeed, for 2 men with similar military backgrounds, they couldn't be more different. Morin, with his shaved head and bodybuilder physique, seemed to view his surveillance detail as a captive audience. He regularly lifted weights topless in the front room. It looked like one of those late-night TV adverts for chatlines. To liven things up, he would occasionally sprint out of the front door and down to the corner of his street, only to stop and walk back home, laughing all the way. He had started to time how long it took the surveillance car to catch up with him. Things like that were how he occupied his time, when not entertaining his harem of girlfriends. 2 weeks ago, Pamela Butch Cassidy and Dinny Muldoon had sat outside Moran's house while he opened the blinds of his bedroom and stood grinning at them while clearly having sex. They had debated trying to take him in for public indecency, but he was in his own house, and he had been smart enough to keep the girl out of view. Butch had suggested in the weekly briefing that they get a picture of his ma blown up, so that they could hold it up if he did it again. That had put him off his game. O'Donnell, on the other hand, was like a ghost. He lived alone and had minimal contact with anyone, bar the classes he taught at his dojo. He trained, he read books, he ate, he slept. He didn't even own a TV, which Gringo had suggested was strike one on the psycho scale right there. O'Donnell had never so much as acknowledged his surveillance. The closest he'd come was last week, when he had come out mid-morning and placed a yoga mat down on his lawn. He'd then proceeded to sit there cross-legged for 2 hours solid, hands placed palm up on his knees, staring across at the car containing Bunny and Gringo. Bunny had checked the exact weather afterwards. 6 degrees it had been. And O'Donnell had sat there, in a vest and sweatpants, calmly staring at them. It had been funny to start with. They'd pulled faces, trying to put him off. Then Gringo had got out and asked him directions to Leopardstown Racecourse. He'd sat there, barely blinking, staring right through them. By the end, it had become unnerving, which was exactly the point. He was showing them that he was a man of greater will than them. After 2 hours, he'd suddenly stood up, rolled up his mat, and headed back inside, not even a smile or a nod in their direction. Gringo drummed on the dashboard excitedly. "I just remembered. I've not told you yet."
"What?"
"Butch reckons Tommy Carter and John O'Donnell might be, you know."
"What?"
"A couple."
"Bollocks," said Bunny. "Butch thinks everyone is gay. If she was right, we'd be running out of people by now."
"But think about it.
We've not seen either of them with a woman."
"We've not seen you with a woman recently, either."
"True, but..."
"I mean," said Bunny, "they could be, I suppose. But they're keeping it very quiet if they are."
"Well, like they said on that course,
a lot of people are still nervous about being out and all that."
"Well, George Michael came out last year, so, you know."
"Yeah, but George is an international pop star. Tommy and John are criminal hard men. They might not go with the image."
"One of the Crays was gay."
"Was he?"
"Yeah. I read that somewhere. The proper mental one, too. Alexander the Great, there's another."
"Leonardo da Vinci?"
"Aristotle?"
"Asher, the Greeks invented it."
"In fact," said Gringo, "get this, Aristotle and Plato were lovers."
"Were they? God, imagine that. Their pillow talk must have been something."
"Oh, yeah. Great thinkers, the gays. Well known for it. And our own Oscar Wilde, of course."
"Well, obviously, Oscar. Goes without saying. Poor fella got all kinds of abuse for it, though."
"Locked up?"
"As was poor Alan Turing. The man cracks the Enigma Code, basically wins World War II for the Allies, and then they do all kinds of terrible things to him."
"Shocking."
"'Tis not right."
Bunny glanced in his wing mirror.
"Speaking of not right..."
Gringo peered into his own mirror to see what he was referring to. On the pavement behind them, they could see at least 20 young kids walking in a large group, each dressed in the uniform of the nearby St. Kevin's school.
"Youth," And a lot of it, said Bunny. Is school out yet?
Gringo looked at his watch.
Nah, it's only just after two. Unless it's some kind of half day or something.
Gringo got out of the passenger seat to stand by the car and watch the approaching kids.
They seemed in very high spirits. He looked at them and over at Carter's house. Bunny.
Bunny turned to see Tommy Carter emerging.
He was about to turn the key in the engine when he noticed that Carter didn't seem intent on going anywhere. He had a deck chair with him, which he opened and set down on his lawn.
Gringo looked in through the open door at his partner.
We're about to get slapped.
Bunny reached down and picked up the radio.
Control, this is Alpha 29. We have eyes on the primary. Carter is currently sitting outside his house and... there are a load of kids.
He felt foolish as he said it. Mammy, the other children are being mean to me.
There was a crackle at the other end. Then a pause followed by...
Can you confirm, Alpha 29? Is this the same group of children that Alpha 27 are seeing?
They're on subject Jimmy Moran.
Bunny looked over at Tommy Carter, who shot him a jovial salute and a smile.
Ella shite, what the?
Gringo moved down the pavement towards the large crowd of rapidly approaching children, mostly boys, with some girls thrown in.
Sorry, kids, you can't come this way.
They ran past him and surrounded the car, joining hands to form a giggling chain of prepubescent protest. Bunny glanced over to see that Carter now had a video camera out and was filming.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
All right, said Gringo, in his best authoritarian voice. Move now, or you're all under arrest.
Nobody moved. Gringo looked around exasperated, like a supply teacher considering a drastic change in career.
Amidst the enthusiastic, if undisciplined, caroling, Bunny's radio became a confusion of words.
Alpha 27, Morin is on the move. We're attempting to pursue. However, Carr is currently surrounded by...
Alpha 24 on Doyle. We have the same.
Gringo was outside and trying to move kids from in front of the car by unlocking their hands.
Gringo!
He made eye contact with Bunny, who nodded urgently in Carter's direction.
Gringo saw the camera and understood. Video of a guard throwing kids out of the way, or driving a car towards them. Hello, 6 o'clock news.
Gringo shook his head and sat on the bonnet.
This is Control. Doyle and Morin are gone. Can you pursue, Alpha 29?
Negative, Control, but I can confirm Tommy Carter is still here.
Wherever the others needed to be, apparently he wasn't required.
Bunny pressed the button again.
Any news on O'Donnell, Control?
Alpha 27 had visual. The same car that picked up Morin got him too. They're gone.
Roger.
Bunny put the radio down and looked over at Tommy Carter, who was smiling from behind his camera. He gave a nod of recognition in return. They'd been conclusively outplayed. As the song came to a close, Carter stood and clapped. The kids came running over. Bunny counted 17 of them. They each got a fiver. Not bad for carol singing in November.